Look to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And I'm going to look at the account of Nicodemus. John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time to his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and you do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." Amen. Go and see our next Tim, how deep the Father's love. The verse we're going to look at this afternoon is that very famous verse that we all learned, if God blesses us, we go to Sunday school, is John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And it said in a time when the Lord Jesus has been talking to Nicodemus. And one of the amazing things is this, as you read that first verse, these are a few things that I want to add because we're not on the steps. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Here is a man, as I've shared with you before, I do not think that Nicodemus was there because he was afraid. I believe he was there because he was a busy man. Not only that, Christ was always surrounded by the crowds, and it was just at a time when he could find the Lord on his own and share with him. But the thing is this, he said, we know that you are a teacher come from God. And so for us as Christians, can people say of us, we know that you are a teacher come from God? Can they say of you that you are someone who has been touched by the living God? There is something about you that I have noticed that is different. It's not that you're cool. It's not that you are strange. There is something about you. These things may all be the case. You may be strange and you may be cool. But above all that, there should be a mark about you that is so different. That is so unworldly. You see, the world is all about the gratification of the flesh. The world is all about having our fill of here and now. And we all know the temptation of that, don't we? I am struggling at the moment. I went into it, those of you like tools would know the shop called Accent Stuff. Well, I've been looking on YouTube at people making chairs and boxes and stools. And I went into Axminster one afternoon this week and I came out and said to Wendy, I can't do this anymore. Because it's ripped my heart out. Because I just want to do things with my hands. That's what I naturally love to do. And I'm struggling with it. And you see, God has said to me, that's not what your calling is. Your calling is to preach the word. And you've got to give yourself to that. And you see, our natural bent is to fill ourselves with the things that matter to us most in a sense. Well, Jesus was known. And they knew he was sent of God. There was something about him. Unearthly. And he goes on, he says, no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. I don't think he was just simply talking about the miracles he did. I believe he was talking about his whole character and life. Talking about the way he opened up the world. Nobody had done this for a long time. They'd never heard the word of God open up like this before. And then Nicodemus comes and he speaks to the Lord. And the Lord says to him, listen, unless I reveal this to you, you will never understand. You will never grasp. And he says there, doesn't he, that where the Spirit blows. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit of God. And if you're a child of God this afternoon, you will all have a testimony of one day you're blind. There was a day God stepped into your life. He made you aware of your rightness. The silence was a slow working. became conscious. Like a, you know, like a corpse on the seashore that's drowned. And he can do nothing for himself or herself. They just lie in there, they're lifeless. The Coast Guard comes along and the CPR, all that they do, suddenly all the water comes from their lungs and they're coughing it up and they're alive. Now, if they were in the paper the next day saying, I've brought myself to life. You know how people, there are people always claim the job themselves, you know the type. They can get away with it, but you can't get away with that. You couldn't say, I brought myself to life again. You just can't do it, it's impossible. But they were talking about it. And you see, you ask yourself the question, are people talking about you? Do people talk about you in the factory? Do people talk about you in the home? Do people talk about you in the neighbourhood? Do they know what you stand for? Are you a half-in, half-out Christian? Are you truly, fully committed? And you see, there are times, I remember myself as a young man, I struggled to commit myself. Because I had other things that I loved my rugby. And these days, man, you can do what you want these days. You can fill the world and you can be a Christian. That's what's almost taught. And I struggle with that because it goes against Psalm 1. Very hard to be, and it's very hard to be a Christian and fill yourself like with these things. So this verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Nicodemus, only the Spirit of God can open your eyes to this. For God, indeed. God. Who is this God that so loved the world? That's the question. People want to deny this God. They want to deny that anyone created this universe. They want to deny that anyone has any power over their life. Everybody wants to be their own little God. And they equate with God with themselves. But the Bible is very clear about what this God is like. It's very clear. There in Isaiah chapter 40, we read this, we read verse 12. It says, verse 10. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his heart and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flocks like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Here's his picture of this God who is gentle and loving and merciful and kind, like a shepherd. Not one of the rascal shepherds of old that thought of nothing but themselves, a hireling, but a shepherd who has care for his sheep. And he goes on to say, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? I think it does us good sometimes to be in dangerous positions. There in the sea trying to swim out of a current. I'm not advocating you do that, but there are times when we're in a place and we are overwhelmed by the power of the waters. We're overwhelmed by the power of the wind. You see some of these films, don't you? Not films, documentaries of landslides, of earthquakes and tidal waves, and you see the magnificence and power of God's creation. And you're reminded of how small you are. And yet God, he says, he holds the waters in the hollow of his hand. He goes on to say, he measured the heaven with a span, like a draper or a tailor. He measured out the garment, you know, a meter or a bit or whatever. Not God, God measured out the universe and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure. Incredible, isn't it? It's God who fills the universe can get down to the level of the dust. You weigh the mountain in scales and the hills in a balance. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or who has his counselor, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel? And who instructed him? And taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Listen, he says, you can't compare him to anyone. He is above all. To whom will you liken him? He says, gold and silver images are lifeless and dull compared to him. And you see, often I think of many of the people who live around their homes have gold and silver idols. They have little wooden idols. He says in here, Isaiah, the wood rots, and yet you pray to this. But this is the blindness of men and women's hearts. And at a time when we need to remind ourselves of where these poor folk are as they pray. I have friends in my life now, an Englishman who gave his life to work with the Nepalese in the Nepal. And I say to him, Maurice, what are you doing? He said, oh, I've got a lot to teach us. And he had a little Buddha in his living room. He fed crackers to him. I said to him, Maurice, I said, you've not grasped that those crackers never go. Have you never grasped that they're there? Unless you've got mice. I said, they never go. That is an idol. It could do nothing for you. Your wife that went before you, she knew the Savior of the world. She's alive in heaven. And you're praying to a brass idol. Ah, but you see, it's been a blessing to so many in the world. And they're very nice people. And you could never get it. You could never. And you should beg of God of heaven, open his eyes that he might see. And you could almost hear the Lord saying, he saw me every day when his wife shared with him. He saw me every day when his wife gave herself to the work of that church. I don't need to say a word to him, he saw me. He knew and he's chosen to refuse my kindness. This is the one who sits above the circle of the earth and asks, who will you liken me to? You know, if you got up on the top of this church and you said, who will you liken me to? You can't get that, will you? Who are you to say? If Nebuchadnezzar did it, and he did do it, didn't he? What did God do? He said, all right, and I'll walk you to a piece of the field. I will put you where you really are. There is no one that is like me, he says. You see, we cannot stand in his presence because of our simple and broken hearts. Yet we read, it's amazing, isn't it? Yet we read, for God so loved the world. Isn't that amazing? God fills the universe. His son who created all things. Says Nicodemus, listen, Nicodemus. Listen to these amazing words. For God so loved the world. You can just imagine, can't you, when Nicodemus going to the disciples and he knew the Lord. I want to share with you what Jesus, the Lord, shared with me. I've got to get this verse in now because it'll be such a blessing to the world. You need to hear this. For God so loved the world. I remember as a young, not a saving man, it was only about 8 years ago, 6 years ago. I was mentally in a real tough place. I was struggling. And I sat in a church in Bromsgrove, I think that sort of way, Cat Hill, in Birmingham. Nobody knew us. And we sat in this church. It was called Welcome Hall. What a lovely name for church. And I went in that was there and he preached. For God so loved
don't go there.
And it was just drinking in. Such a reminder of what God has done for me. You see, we cannot stand in His presence because of our sinful, as I said, and broken hearts. But this God who loved the world, He has a plan. He had a plan. We read there in 1 John 4, verse 8. He has a plan. The reason He has a plan is because God is love. You won't find that in other religious writings, that God is love. But you're doing the Word of God. God is love. What was that plan, you may ask? Many of you have maybe thinking, oh yeah, get to that point. Get to that point where we just think of the plan, that those who trust in Him might be saved from His judgment. That's His plan. So that you can say to any man, woman, boy or girl, you can say to them, listen, you can know eternal life no matter what you've done. You can go to any despot, any prison, anywhere in the world. If you had a time machine, you could go throughout the world, as it were, and you could go to anyone and say, listen, this is what Christ has done for you, that you might have eternal life. I remember the little laugh, not that it's ever possible, it never will be. I used to dream that I had a time machine. I was dreaming that I could go to men like Judas. And I know it's not right, but you just wanted everybody to know the good news. What a plan. There is coming a day when every knee will bow, and we will bow before Him. And if we don't know Him, we will be punished because of our sin. Carry on. What was that plan? Well, God the Father sent His only begotten Son to die and be punished in our place. You know, I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where you're at the 11th hour and you've got a bill to pay, or you're in a difficult predicament and you phone up the company, or you, I remember, I'll tell you a little story. We had a Monday out given us, and it must have cost the person £3,000 or £4,000. I still to this day don't know who gave it to us. And I remember it breaking down, and I think the clutch went, and I'm thinking, oh no. I didn't have a lot of money, but I knew how things worked. You've got to drop the whole box on the engine. You're talking big money. And I went to the garage, he was a Christian owner, but he never told me who did it. And I said to him, I said, Simon, I said, this is all my savings, £100. I said, if that could go towards it, I said, if you can work a miracle, I said, that'd be great. I said, but you let me know how much it costs, and we'll sort it out. Went home on the bus, and you're just thinking, oh. I say I went home, I think I walked. I couldn't afford the bus. And I remember going home, and I'm thinking, oh dear. Show me that God. The Lord, you know, you promised to supply all that. I had a phone call. Oh mate, Simon here. Well, it was more like, Lord, here is Simon here. Lord, over that. He said, can you come and see us? I said, oh yeah, alright. I didn't have a chance to ask him anything. On the way over, I'm thinking, oh, can't be right off. But something happened, and oh no. I came into the garage, and he said to me, he said, by the way, he says, here's your £100. He said, someone has just walked past the garage and seen your car, and they've given us a blank check. Whatever it costs. I think it costs about £1,300. That was all back maybe 15, 16 years ago. And you just think, My God knows all about me. My God, nothing catches him by chance. And you just see what an amazing God, this God who sent his Son to die for me. And if this man or woman, whoever paid this bill, took my debt. They took my place. But you see, it was still my debt. Still my God. But you see, what Christ does on the cross, he becomes us. This is the thing. He doesn't just die in our place. The innocent cannot die for the guilty. It's illegal. But the innocent became the guilty. The spotless Lamb of God, that beautiful Saviour, became all your vile thoughts, and all your criticisms, all your gossip, all your moanings, all you are. He became you on the cross. That's why I can say to any child in this street, that's why I can say to any man or woman, my Christ died for you. He died fully. There are no surprises. I went out yesterday because Sam's getting married, and it was a lovely time, and we paid for the go-karting, and we came to the meal, and I thought it was all in with the meal. We paid for it, we were all in. And I said, we'll share the cost of the meal. And I was thinking, but you see, when it comes to gospel, I'm only saying that so I'm hoping someone's sitting with you. But when it comes to the gospel, there are no hidden surprises. You will not stand on judgment day and God say to you, "Man, now listen, Mr. Norman, I know I said that I was totally not to leave the kingdom, but I forgot to tell you this." He's not going to say that. This is going to be arms open wide, welcoming. There's going to be rejoicing. He has done it all. We are totally and utterly cleansed. The vilest of sinners. You think of that, there's a group called Staros and they're ex-alcoholics, and they'll stand on the stage and they'll sing these songs about what Christ has done for them. And you see their scarred faces, that they've cut themselves, shaving or been knifed or glassed or whatever, but they sing so sweetly of the wonderful message of Jesus Christ. Why? Because God has paid it in full. That Son who came to die, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came that we might have life eternal. God didn't want us to perish. This is the wonderful thing. He didn't come to criticise us and judge us. We can do this sometimes, can't we? You know, things come on the news and we're wagging our fingers and we say, "This is wrong, it shouldn't be this, it shouldn't be that." And when was the last time you knelt before your television screen and you prayed for the biased forecasting of the BBC? When the last time you prayed for the commentators on the ITV channel and Channel 5 and all the rest? When was the last time you prayed for those in power? When was the last time you said to the family, "Listen, let's just stop a moment, if you could, and you know, you can't do it in your home, and there's those who don't move the world." When was the last time you stopped and said, "Look, we need to pray for these people. They are lost and they are blind." And unless the God of heaven touches their hearts. But you see, every one of them one day will have to stand before God. We're told there in Hebrews 9, aren't we? "It is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." But Jesus said, "Listen, you don't have to fear, I'm the way. I am the way, you come by me." The Lord Jesus is the answer to the problem of our sin and our brokenness. So then if God, who is unknowable, has become knowable because of his plan, this plan, Yes, be calm. There's a way in the door. Jesus said, you could know God and you could know Him as Father. You could know that freedom that He's found in, that burden being lifted. We read there in Romans 5 verse 8. But God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore we have been made clean because of Jesus taking our place. Much more shall we be saved by Jesus from the wrath of God. Isn't it wonderful to know what God has done for us? Romans 10:13 says, for whoever, I love that, for whoever, no class distinctions, no nationality, whoever called on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't matter who you are, the promise is only for those who call. But you see, we need to call, we need to realise that we cannot stand before God as we are. And, you know, when the Scott shared about those that he's met, and others shared about those that we have met, Mark was talking about men, and your whole heart is aching with, Lord, open their eyes, that they just might glimpse a touch of eternity. They might just grasp, Lord, show them a crack in their heart that they can see their sin. For Lord, how will they ever call if they do not call upon the name of the Lord? But you see, the thing is, we come before a God who is a God of love. That's why it's possible. That's why it's possible to know eternal life. That's why it's possible to give His gift of salvation. You see, He didn't come into the world to condemn the world. Says, read then in verse 17. But that the world through Him might be saved. Oh, blessed God, God of love, God who is love, so loved His creation, humankind, that He gave His Son to die, to be punished in our place. So that if we take up His offer and call upon His name, put our trust in what He has done for us through Jesus Christ, we will have eternal life. And we have an amazing message to give. We have an amazing Father who's done so much for us. We take it for granted, don't we? I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like a pig who's gorging in the world. That's what I feel like sometimes. And I feel so easy criticising the churches in other parts of the country that allowing their youngsters to do things that I don't think is right. I see them teaching things and I get so angry. And yet I then again I look at myself and say, Martin, where are you? Are people talking about you? Are people talking about you saying that the way you live can only be that God has stepped into your life? Or am I a consequence to anyone? What impact do I have around you? What impact do I have on the people of this world? You see, we have an amazing, wonderful message. Glorious message. Our God is the God of love, who gave His Son. That whoever we share this message to, if they call, they can know eternal life. Aren't we blessed? Shall we turn to our final hymn? When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Father in heaven, we do pray that we would be, Lord, we know we'll be read as letters by those around, but Lord, we pray that we would be a true representative of the children of God, that we would be the talk of those around us. We think of those that we're afraid to share the gospel with, because there are those that can be our family. It can be our neighbours. Lord, there are those that we struggle with. There are those who we find it easy to share. But Lord, we pray that we would indeed be a cause of them asking questions. Oh, Spirit of God, we pray that you would work in the hearts of men and women. So Lord, we pray you'd be with us now. Continue to be with us. Your name would be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.